Welcome to Hot Off the Press, a podcast that provides knowledge and emotional support for new and aspiring printers. I'm Jillian of Studio Soprano.
And I'm Mariah of Mariah Creates, and we are two letterpress printers who believe in sharing our knowledge and learning together.
We're here to help bridge the gap between antique printing methods and modern design.
So hang up your apron,
put down those palette knives,
and let's get into what's hot off the press.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Hot Off the Press. I'm Jillian of Studio Soprano, and I am here with the ever-lovely Mariah of Mariah Creates. And today, we are going to be talking about markets and expos. And I think it is a great time to discuss this because spring is when all of this stuff starts popping up. We have markets and styled shoots and bridal expos and all of those great things that, you know, people will reach out to you about and ask you if you want to participate in, and you have to decide, do you even have time, capacity, and will it benefit you and what all goes into it and all that good stuff. But there's definitely an upside to participating in some of these events because it really can be a great way to organically grow your business. Just, you know, talking with strangers about what you do. Sometimes people are so shocked that there are humans out there who have letterpresses in their garage and they have a whole business surrounding that. So getting out there at different types of markets is a really great way to support your business, but your time is valuable and so are your weekends. So we want to talk about how to choose what to sign up for and how to make sure you're getting the most of it.
Yeah, this is perfect timing because not only have I been doing some styled shoots this spring, which have turned out to be really wonderful, but I've also got a market coming up this month. So it's just great timing. And we feel like, you know, having some fresh input to give that this conversation was worth having. So yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah. So right off the top, let's talk about the benefits of doing in-person events. Obviously, sales, it's so great, especially if you started your business during the pandemic and most of your business has been done exclusively online. There is nothing better than making a sale in person. Seeing someone walk up, immediately connect with your product, and then hand you cash for it is the best feeling in the whole world.
Totally. And also just seeing what their eye gravitates towards or hearing what they think about the different things that you have. That stuff is, you don't get that when you're just selling via e-commerce or Etsy or whatever. You just get the sale and the review, hopefully, you know? But it's so much fun to see people's eyes light up. And like, I did a market in the holiday and it was so fun to see. I had just done those dog holiday cards. Mm-hmm. And to see people react to them was like the most validating experience of my life. I was just like, I'm so glad I made these because people love them, you know? And it's like, I don't know that I sold as many online as like I really thought. Like it was kind of even across my holiday cards, right? Like more traditional ones, whatever. But in person, people freaking ate it up and it was so much fun. So yeah, I think that getting that reaction for me is like so much fun. And it also kind of inspires you like what you want to make more of based on how people react to those things too. So it's a great way it's a great way to like test out a new product or like see how people react to a different style of something or whatever. So
it's data collecting.
Yeah,
when
for sure.
When I do markets, Zach is usually there helping me and he takes notes. Like if he overhears someone either ask me like, oh, do you have this? And, you know, yeah, I have well over 100 cards that I've designed, but I don't have like every single thing you could possibly think of. So Zach will write that down. Or if somebody's like, oh my gosh, it's so funny, but then they see the words on it or something, and then they have a comment about that, Zach will write down like, print the iguana card, no words.
Perfect. Yeah.
That kind of stuff. It's super helpful. And I always leave. I always leave with a list of stuff. And if I ever feel like, I need some inspiration or whatever, that is the first thing I pull up because I know there's already a need for it in the market.
Yeah, totally. I love that. That's a great way to describe it, but also such a great way to take that feedback and make something out of it, you know? Zach. What a gem. What a gem.
I know. Such a gem. Okay. So that's if you're selling products, but if you are doing more of your service providing sort of market, like a bridal expo, this is obviously a great place for you to get leads. There's so many people who teach courses on how to get the most out of markets like this and bridal expos and stuff. But I think the overall biggest piece of advice that people give is you want those leads to be super warm. You kind of want to get some level of commitment from them while you're there. So setting yourself up for success, which we're going to talk about through this episode, as far as capturing all the information, making sure they really are going to remember you, that they understand what you offer and they see the value in your product, is going to go so far to you actually booking that client and not just spending your weekend talking to hundreds of people and maybe getting one job.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also like having information that they can take with them, and you know, there's a way to like take this in-person experience. You know, you go from like an elevator pitch to like, you know, somebody walks up to your table or they're wandering by, you capture their attention. How do you get your point across and explain to them as quickly as possible? You know, there are whole courses and like lectures and lessons and TED Talks on all of that. But, you know, it's just all about making sure that these people are aware of what you offer and how they could work with you. And, you know, that gives you an opportunity to hopefully follow up with them. And, you know, as long as you make sure you contact, like capture their contact information, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your website is really should be, you know, a great space talking about what you offer. People should understand what they're going to get from you when they go to your website. But when you have an in-person interaction, you get to fill in all those gaps. You get to make sure that they're not missing something or assuming something. And it really goes a long way to booking that client. So for both sales and service, doing in-person events has great benefits. And then making connections with other vendors and getting your name out there is so worth it, because I find in-person events to be kind of like domino situations. You know what I mean? Either it's a client who's going to tell someone about me and then they're going to book a job, or it's a vendor who I meet who tells me about another market and then I'm going to get to go to that other market and then I'm going to meet someone else and I'm going to book that job. And so it's just, there's so much more opportunity when you're at these events and talking to people than when you're just expecting SEO and your website and Etsy keywords to do all the work for you.
Yeah. And I mean, no matter what kind of event it is, there are connections to be made everywhere. So could be the organizer of the event. It could be people mm-hmm. attending the event. It could be other vendors at the table next to you. Shout out to Aaron. It could be the location, the venue. You know, maybe this is also a venue that's used for weddings. You know, maybe it's you know, a space that's looking to get into the wedding, you know, realm. It could be a caterer or a planner. You never know who could also be at that event or who is involved with the event that could be a benefit to you. Obviously, you're not going to go there just expecting to like be on their, you know, list of referrals immediately. But if you meet those people, if you show up well and you show up with enthusiasm and you offer something wonderful, then hopefully just anyone at that venue or that event is now, you know, potentially a new lead or referral for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. So you've got markets or events or bridal expos, whether people are reaching out to you or you're considering doing some that are in your area, how do you decide what markets or events to participate in? So definitely a lot of points to consider, but we're talking generally your return on investment. And that could be actual dollars if you're paying to participate, or it could be, you know, your time. Whatever you're investing into that could vary. But if, you know, you're looking to actually, you sign up and you pay $150 to be a vendor at this event, obviously you want to sell at least more than $150, right? But if you're a service provider, you know, a lot of those other benefits could be not an immediate, you know, dollar amount deposited in your bank account, but you know, thinking about how many leads you might get, how many people are going to be attending this event, that kind of thing. So questions to ask yourself or the organizer, if you don't know the question or the answer, you know, would be what kind of advertising and marketing efforts are they putting in? Is the organizer advertising in the local newspaper, social media? Are they sending out emails to their email list? Are they posting in stories every week about this? Are they talking about the individual vendors, or are they just kind of advertising the hours and the date? Are they charging a ticket price to get into these events? That will kind of determine, you know, what kind of audience this is attracting. Free events, probably going to be more budget, but it could be a wider spectrum of people. If it's a higher dollar amount ticket price, you know, it's probably people who are more serious or really looking to either come and buy or come and book their vendors. And are they going to be sharing professional photos afterwards that you could use on social media, your website, or in your portfolio, however you do that? There's a lot of things to consider about the event itself. And, you know, depending on what you have as expectations for this event, whether it's a bridal expo or a market or even a styled shoot, these kind of things all apply. You know, your expectations will set how many of those things you need in order to do this. If it costs you nothing to do it, it's a day you don't have anything planned, you already have all the stuff you need, you know, maybe you take on more of those things. But if it's, you know, something where you're paying or you're buying supplies or displays to set up for this market, definitely consider some of those factors.
Yeah, I actually have kind of like a horror story in this realm of before I actually started doing markets regularly, like before I had my nice backdrop wall that I built and all this stuff. I got asked to do a little market, like to sell greeting cards around the holidays or whatever. And I said yes, and I worked my butt off to start to collect all of that stuff that you need, because we'll get into it. It is kind of a lot of stuff. And I never thought to ask myself any of these questions. And it turned out that it was a free event in like a hard to find area, and very little marketing had been done for it. And I put in like hours and hours of work preparing for it, pulled like an all-nighter, was stressing like crazy. And we get there, and I swear like 15 people walked through the door that entire night. And it was so disheartening. And I think the person who hosted the event bought some cards. The woman at the table next to me bought some cards. And I think only one person who was just purely there in attendance bought some cards. And I probably walked out of there with like less than $50. Yeah. I didn't have to pay to participate, which is what made it seem so appealing to me. So I like, that's kind of like a cautionary tale, right? Like free and the event being free and your availability, like you have to really think about it. Are you prepared? If you've already done markets before and you have your stands and you have your system and you have all of this, then yeah, what do you have to lose? But if you're going to have to go out and spend a couple $100 on risers and figure out a way to signage your business and figure out this and figure out that, and it's, you know, next week because people love to ask you.
Last second.
You know, that's all something worth considering. You know, just because it's free and you're available doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the right fit.
For sure. And, you know, an event being like, I think there's a huge difference in my mind, like of like whether you, the event is free for guests or consumers to come in, like that can be a really good thing if you're selling products. But I feel like for service based or like bridal expos, when they're free, it's kind of a different ballgame. Like if it's a bridal expo and it's free, you're most likely going to get a lot more people who are just wandering around, just starting to think about it.
Yeah. They might not even be engaged.
Yeah. They're like, I was just walking by on a Saturday afternoon and happened to walk in. Yeah. Or it could be like, you know, people who aren't really ready to commit to anything, which, you know, is still valuable and still gets your name out there and still, you know, again, you could meet other vendors, you can meet other planners, things like that. But if that bridal expo is all of a sudden a $50 ticket, then automatically weed out all those people who are not ready to like start planning or not ready to commit to something or
just the really looky loos.
Yeah. So, you know, I think whatever your like your end goal is, just consider those things with that in mind. Like if you're a product-based business and you're going to this market, and if you've already got everything you need, and it will literally, if you sell $0 worth of products, it'll still be worth, you know, getting 20 people on your mailing list, then do it. You know, it's like just weigh, you know, your return on investment. That's really all we're talking about here. Whatever that looks like for you.
Which is so valuable, yes, because it doesn't necessarily have to be dollars. Yeah. There have been times where I've just broken even with what I've paid for an event, but I gained a local following and people mm-hmm. who now shop from my Etsy or have ordered business cards or something. So yeah, it doesn't have to be a dollar amount for you to be successful at a market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there on the subject of markets and expos and things, we love to talk about planning ahead, but a lot of things always come up last minute. I think markets is something that, like in my area anyway, I feel like they fill up really quickly. I don't know if it's just because the ones I'm looking at are so well organized, but it's literally like getting concert tickets. Like you're like 10th in the queue and then you like have to be on it like the moment those spots are available, which is crazy. So I think that a couple things in that situation, if your area is like that as well, where markets book out really quickly and the vendor spots fill up fast, plan ahead for next year. Like this year, go walk around some of those markets. Go take a like scope out all the ones you think you might want to do and see what ones will actually be a good fit for you. You know, look at the other vendors. Are there a lot of other stationery, like printers, artists that are in the same field as you? Is it a really wide range of stuff? What's the price point of all the other things there? How many people are at this event? Is it super busy? Is it only outdoors? And if it rains, you're SOL. Like, all of those things are worth considering, and you can plan ahead this year so that next year you're ready for those particular markets that you decided are a good fit. I also think it's a good idea to like look at the vendor fees and kind of set yourself a budget or like maybe how many you're going to sign up for, because mm-hmm. then when that one comes up available, you were kind of on the fence about and you just like, you happen to be there at the right time. You just like want to trigger finger sign up for it and then like overcommit yourself or, you know, spend an extra $200 signing up for a market that you didn't really need to sign up for, that kind of thing. If you have that budget or like plan for what markets you're going to sign up for, that'll be helpful too, rather than just signing up for any willy-nilly one that you might come across.
And if you're planning that far ahead, especially if you're selling things like greeting cards and note cards, it is a lot harder for us to make up the vendor fees than it is for someone who's selling clothing or artwork at a much higher price point.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Jewelry. I feel like jewelry sells so well at these markets.
Yeah. It really does. So a little thing that I have done in the past that has been really helpful is there's this one local market next to me and it's amazing. They get such a great turnout. It is always so well worth my time. But the vendor fees are really high. And at like on my best day there, I've just got maybe $100 over breaking even. So I partnered with another local creative and we buy a bigger space, but I give them more than 50% of the space because they have a higher price point item or product line. And so they take up more of the space. I take up a little less than I would have if I bought a single tent, but I'm paying a little bit less. So it makes it easier for me to make up what I spent at that event. And that has worked out really well because so many things go well with cards. You know, if you know someone, so my friend does a lot of dried florals and nothing goes better than flowers and a card.
Yeah, literally.
Flowers and a card.
That's so smart.
So if you know someone who makes, you know, candles or things that just people gift, it is such a great way to pair.
Yeah, there's so many things.
Yeah, it's such a great way to pair up. So if there is an event, and I don't know, our coordinators of our events never really question it because we kind of submit it like where Lauren Regina X Studio Soprano, like it's a collaboration. So they never question it, but you know, you may have to get an okay or something.
Yeah.
But it's something to consider if you're really daunted by a $500 vendor fee and you're selling $6 greeting cards and you're like, holy crap, that's a lot of cards I need
to
sell.
That's a lot of cards. Yeah, that's a great idea. And I also think that same kind of concept applies to markets that may have already filled up all their vendor spots. Maybe somebody in that list of people who got a spot is, you know, maybe they want a, you know, to split the cost with somebody, you know, they're, or maybe they decide last minute not to do it, but there's a lot of, you know, ways you kind of approach that subject too. So I like that idea of sharing a space with someone. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. So you're registered for an event. You decide you want to do it. Now, what do you do?
Yes. Okay. So some things apply for any event, and that includes your marketing materials and your table setup, of course. So to make sure you're marketing on point, you're going to want to have, number one, plenty of business cards. That also could be any other kind of physical collateral that you want to hand out. This could be brochures. It could be a little card. It could be a freebie of some kind. I've seen people do like pens or little like favor boxes for bridal expos, things like that. It could be really anything. Just make sure, if you learn nothing else from this entire episode, then make sure your contact info and your brand is on everything. If somebody grabs a pen from your table, you want them to later, when they get home and they use it, be like, oh yeah, Studio Soprano, I really liked her invitations. Or what was the name of that invitation company I saw? I really liked her letterpress invitations. They're going to go to Google and just search for that. They're not going to find you necessarily. So you want to make sure that your brand and your contact information is there. And if you can, like, try and get anyone who comes up to you or your table to take something with them. And it doesn't have to be something that's expensive. It could be, you know, a business card printed at Kinko's for all the, you know, that really matters. It's just the fact that they need to be able to look you up or contact you later down the road if they don't, you know, give you their information or whatever else.
Yeah.
I also, one of my biggest pet peeves is going to these markets and not having like people's logo or brand, like identifiable information, like on the table somewhere. You know, like the back of your card has a logo on it. Your business card has a logo on it. But like, if somebody takes a video of the whole room for social media,
or they should know who you are.
Yeah. Or if they take a photo of this like display with all these cute cards, but your branding isn't anywhere on the front of those cards, how are they going to find you later? You know, I am also really bad about this. I take a lot of photos of things that I like want to look at back on later, might purchase at another time. And then if I can't find out who that person was or what the business name was, if I'm not like familiar with them, then literally what was the point? Like, what was the point of all of that?
Yeah.
So try and have, you know, your logo could be printed on the tablecloth, or it could be a little sign. It could be in a picture frame. It could be a sticker on the front of your greeting card sets. It could be like so many different things. Just make sure that if someone takes a photo, that they will see what company it is that sells that thing. Like, I don't really care how you do it, but that is one of my biggest like pain points when I see other people's setups. So
I agree. Or like when people are walking by, people are strolling through the market, your logo display may actually capture their attention.
Yeah.
So I hate when I'm walking through, honestly, any kind of market, and I'm just looking around and it's just a sea of white tents and tables with white cloths on them with stuff on them. And I'm like, I don't know who you are, or what you're selling to me.
Totally.
It's not enticing enough for me to stop.
Yeah. There's a really big festival here in Minneapolis called the Stone Arch Bridge Festival. And I went last summer and I just to shop around with friends. Right. And so it's like two sides, left and right, all of these tents, right? They're all pop-up tents because it's outside. And, you know, different colors, whatever, are mixed in, but most of them are white. That's pretty standard. But here's the thing. One single person had a sign that stuck out from the top of their tent into, like, the middle. And I immediately took note of that. And I was like, that person is a genius. Note to self. If I ever do an outdoor event with a pop-up, have a freaking sign. And I was like, this is so smart, because every other one, you have to poke your head in and practically enter the space before you can see what it is or get right up to it, you know? But that one sign, I literally will never forget it, because I was like, that's the only person who did that. That is insane and so smart. So, you know, I think that's also another valuable point of like, if you're able to walk around events this year to plan for next year, make notes of what you liked, that you saw, what you didn't like, what people need to be doing more of, or what they did too much of, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, I always do a lap. Like, that is number one key for me. Like, once I'm all set up, if there's time before it starts, I'll do a lap. Or if there's time before I break down, I'll go and do a lap. But seeing what, because some other people have been doing this for like 10 or 20 years and they've got some shit figured out. They know the right little lanterns to hang from the top of their tent.
Yeah. And some of them do 100 of these markets a year, whereas you're doing five. You know, it's like some of them are literally on the road, you know. So, I also would encourage you to have a sign up for your email list if you have one. If you don't have one, you should. Or at least like follow you on social media. That could be like a clipboard with a sign up sheet. It could be a QR code that they scan. And, you know, you could even consider something like a giveaway, which Jillian and I have both done for people to get like, sign up for my list and be entered into a drawing to win blah, blah, blah. It could be something that you're selling there. It could be a discount on your stationery order. It could be a complimentary thank you note if you book blah, blah, blah. Like, it could be anything. But getting people to sign up for a reason to your mailing list is a great way to capture those sales later on, even if they don't purchase anything that day.
Yeah. The QR code is so great, especially for social media, because nothing's more annoying than having to spell out your handle.
Totally. Yeah. Nobody ever spells Mariah correctly the first time.
Yeah.
And Instagram, like, you do have a QR code on social media that you can literally go get from your Instagram account. You don't even have to like create one. It just already exists. So at the very least, you could have people do that. But, you know, you'd have to have a conversation in order to make that work. So just literally print out one and put it in a little picture frame and put it on your table. Et voila, done.
Yeah. And as for the table itself, you might need to provide your own. So make sure you ask your organizer. That's always great. Like, you want to know the specifics, especially regarding load in, load out, where are you going to be, all this stuff. But whether or not they're going to provide you tables and chairs, ask, because you will want a chair and you will obviously need a table. So what are you going to put on your table? You definitely want to have a tablecloth of some kind, because it's just going to help elevate your entire display.
Yeah.
And Mariah and I actually have talked about this recently when thinking about tablecloths. You know, do you go color? Do you go white? Do you whatever? And we were just discussing how if you sell cards, they're probably white.
White paper. Yeah.
White paper. And so having a color, it could be a bold pop of color. It could be a subtle color. Maybe a, you know, light beige lavender, taupe or something. But that's going to help your cards pop more than a white tablecloth. Yeah. Whereas if you sell earrings or some sort of like clay jewelry or something that is all bright colors, you probably want a white tablecloth to offset your bright color product.
Totally. How are you going to make your product pop, right? How are you going to make it stand out? Totally.
Yeah. And I know you said this before, but your tablecloth is an amazing place to put your logo on it. We bought a super cheap tablecloth off Amazon. We got some HTV from the dollar store.
Yeah.
And we put our Hot Off the Press logo on our tablecloth for the printers fair.
And it is
perfect. It's literally one of my favorite things ever. It's so nice. It's bright green.
And it
green.
Looks so good.
Looks so good.
Yeah. And when people took photos of our table, they knew exactly what we were and who we were and what we did.
Yes. And we had it on. So we had our logo on the tablecloth, but then we also had it on a poster board up high behind us. So no matter where you are looking, high, low, we got you. You know who we are.
You were getting the info no matter what, whether you wanted it or not.
So baseline tablecloth, there's so many more things we could talk about that. Should it be fitted? Blah, blah, blah. Do you need clips? It all depends on if you're going to be outside and if it's going to be windy. Be wise. Think about that stuff. Pretty much if you're doing a market outside, at every single point of getting ready for it, you should ask yourself, how is the wind going to affect this? Because
if it's blowing like crazy, what will happen to this? Yeah.
From someone who has had to chase cards down the street as they blow away, let me tell you, think about the wind. Now, we've both invested in little like shelf stands for our cards. Some of them are wood, some of them are acrylic. We have some baskets. The best thing about cards is you can find so many different types of things to display them on. I actually find that people love to do the like fingering through of cards through a basket. They love it.
It reminds me of it reminds me of like CDs or like records, you know, when you go to like a record store and you just kind of flip through the A through Bs, you know, like that's the feeling. It feels like, you know, you're kind of just looking to see what calls to you.
Yeah. And it's like your brain can focus on that one thing. Whereas if you have, you know, like I built that big wall, and if you're standing at the wall or even if you're in like the grocery store or whatever, you're looking at that wall of cards, you're not really looking at any of them because you're looking at all of them. And if you're just thumbing through, you know, one specific deck of cards, you are actually looking at every single card individually. And it's really great. It doesn't look as pretty, but I would say give your shoppers some options, like spread some out and then also clump some together.
I think that's a great idea. And I think that applies very well to bridal shows too. Like I've seen, you know, people have a suite assembled like on a poster board, for example, like the whole, like a flat lay, essentially just permanent, but also like a little binder where they flip through each suite individually or something like that. You know, I think that it's almost like an interactive element to it where like they're physically looking at the thing. Whereas on a wall, you're just kind of like, it's like a museum. You're like, saw it. Okay, next. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's really interesting. But a variety is a great kind of rule of thumb. However you display them, have a couple different things. I actually just got for my market, I got one of the ones that's like spinning. It has like little like four sides to it and it spins like a little carousel in addition to like the stands that are stationary. So I feel like that'll kind of be a nice mix where people can kind of move the thing, which people just love like fiddling with things. So that'll be perfect. And then I'll have like the more stationary displays for the other stuff. So
And definitely test out anything that you're buying. Like as soon as it comes in, let's say you order, you know, a stand, like let's say you get off Amazon or something, put it together and put your products in it and make sure that they fit in the way that you want them to fit in. And because one of the things that I found with a lot of card stands is that the row in front hides so much of the row behind. So I've actually modified a lot of the ones that I've bought to have little risers in each level. I just use foam core and I just layer it up so that the cards are displayed at the heights that I want them displayed at. Now, that did lead me into some wind problems one time, but, you know, trial and error, people.
Yeah.
You could also have people make stands for you. I know
they can be custom made fairly easily.
Yeah. I have a laser cutter. I've started making some of my own market products and, you know, you can always reach out to me or anyone else. There are so many people who offer those. So if you draft something up and you know exactly what you want, then you can just send it to a maker and have them custom make you a stand for your market.
I dropped a jelly bean and Otto is trying so hard to get it, but it's stuck underneath my little thing.
I don't even know if I can get it, dude. Oh, he got it.
Go, Otto.
Oh, you like that sour jelly belly. I like that. Excuse you. Okay, sorry. Okay, and then where were we? Okay, so payment processor. So you're also going to need, obviously, a way to accept payments and probably some smaller bills so you can make change if you are going to accept cash payments. I feel like no one ever has cash anymore, so definitely be prepared for PayPal, Venmo, credit card, Apple Pay, whatever you want to offer people. But be ready. It's always like a rule of thumb in business anywhere to make it easy for people to pay you, right? Test that beforehand. Make sure you have a setup. Make sure that like you're prepared for Wi-Fi situation. Again, this can kind of go back to things to ask the organizer. If there's going to be Wi-Fi, what's the password, that kind of stuff. Because you could easily end up in like a big warehouse without cell phone service and be, you know, if you're not prepared for that, it could be really problematic. So things to think about ahead of time, and absolutely have like a notebook or notepad of some kind. I can't tell you how many times you'll either want to like jot down a note about someone you met or somebody wants you to follow up with them about this thing, or you think you have a really good lead, you take down their contact information or vendors. It's always important to just have a place to jot those notes in case you need it, or a sheet of paper for something. You never know. And make sure to have a couple of extra pens too, especially if you're having like a physical mailing list sign up. It's always good to have a few backup plans. And pens, you never know. It's like always the one pen you grab first that's like dead or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, a couple other things to throw in your bag. So
yeah, I always bring like a couple regular pens and then like a really thick Sharpie because it never fails. Inevitably, at the end of the day, I want to like drop prices on something.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to be like, okay, I only have four of these left, so somebody take them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and scissors and tape.
Totally.
Like, stock yourself.
Types of tape. Yeah.
Yeah. Stock yourself up with those sort of essentials because you will need them.
Yeah. I mean, when I feel like you should, any kind of event, have like a little bag of those kind of miscellaneous things. Tape.
Yeah.
Scissors, pens, Sharpies. It's, you know, just like if you're a wedding coordinator, you have a little bag with like a sewing kit and a Band-Aid and a little, you know, tied to go pen. Yep. It's the same concept, you know, just be prepared.
Yeah.
It's all your stationary supplies anyway. So just throw a few in a bag and take them with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So how many products is too many? So I think, Jillian, you should definitely talk about this because you have a lot of different SKUs. So how do you decide which products to actually bring on the day?
This is actually a very good question. And I have done trial and error by taking literally every single card out of my studio and taking it with me to a market. And then I've also done the just take four or five of every single design. And honestly, it's a gamble. So the day that I took every single thing, I felt like I spent way too much time digging for stuff because you can't possibly put it all out on the table. You basically just have it as back stock. And it just felt really cumbersome. And I put all of my cards at risk because if anything were to happen, then I would literally lose all of my inventory. But for the time that I only took like five of everything, you know, some things sold out. And then people will be like, oh my gosh, you don't have any birthday cards? And I'm like, well, birthday cards just go really quick. And you're here at 4:59 and this thing ends at 5.
So. Yeah. I think that's important to note real quick that like you're never going to please everyone, but
yeah, my word to the wise is take what you feel comfortable taking both in transport and like worst case scenario, because I know people who have had this happen. Like if you're packing up your car and then you go back to grab something and somebody steals your product out of your car or something, like you do have to kind of factor in those situations. It's one of the reasons that the rule of thumb at markets is your cash till is always on you. You mm-hmm. never leave it. If you have to go to the bathroom, you take that shit with you to the bathroom. If Perfect. You're going back and forth to your car, it's in a backpack on your back. Like, but yeah, so it is unfortunate, but those things happen. And so you kind of have to think about that. You know, it just has to be a consideration for you. So anyway, take what you're comfortable carrying and displaying and then have a backup plan. So one of the things that I started implementing is that if any of my cards have a defect on it on the inside or the back or whatever, I actually put an X on the inside so that I know it's like a defect, but then I keep it and I put like a little sticker on the plastic sleeve that this is for display only. And now pretty much every single card I print will have one of those. And yeah. So now I have a single box that goes with me everywhere. And that has one of every card I've ever printed. So if somebody really wanted to thumb through that and look through, and then they could go on my website and place an order, or I'll make an email order situation happen and I'll hook them up with it, you know, virtually instead of doing like, you know, the in-person sale.
Totally.
So just have a backup plan for anything that sells out or stuff that you don't necessarily want to take. But you hear someone start talking about it, just be ready. Like have your website up and be like, oh, I actually do have this. And I think you mentioned this earlier, but have a coupon code. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, I don't have it here in person, but here's 10% off. Like you can order it online right now from my iPad. Do it here.
Yeah. I've already got it pulled up and I added it to the cart. So just type in your information. Yeah. I also think like this is a really important time where you should be making the effort to capture their information. If they don't yeah. want to make that purchase online right now or whatever, capture their info and what they wanted so that you can follow up with them. Because
Yeah.
Requiring them to come back to you later is not always going to work, but you can absolutely follow up with them. And they might even like super appreciate that, like follow through and that customer service of like, oh yeah, I did want that. You know what? She was so nice. I'm going to purchase more of them, you know? So make sure that, you know, in that situation where you're out of something or they wanted something slightly different that you didn't bring or whatever, or if they want something customized, that's always great too. Make sure you get the information whenever possible. It could be their email, could be their phone number, whatever. But yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have like downtime while you're at the event, because from my experience, people come in waves and then they mm-hmm. go out and then there's like no one sitting there. Copy the link to that listing, paste it in an email, just send it like right then and there, get it done. Don't, you know, because you're going to be so tired when you get home. You're going to be so freaking over it by the next day. Just do yourself a favor. Even the email list that you're capturing, if you can have, if you have Wi-Fi, start entering those in when you have downtime at the show. Like keep show stuff all together.
For sure.
In one time cluster.
I love it.
If you can.
Perfect.
And, or assign your husband to do it.
Like yeah. If you have a Zach, go ahead and give him that job. And then I think the last thing on the product front is don't forget packaging. If you're selling products, you know, you're going to want something to put those in. It could be little craft bags. It could be something more elaborate. And then I always like to include a business card or something in there with your brand information and contact information. It could be just your website or your social media or something, but throw a business card in that bag. Literally won't hurt anything. So give them more chances to contact you and remember who you are. When they're cleaning up their desk in a couple of weeks and they find that business card and they remember how cute that little thing was they almost purchased, great. You know, you never know what could come of just throwing a business card in a bag or making sure that they take one with them when they go. So,
yeah. A quick tip on this as well. If you do buy craft bags, a lot of people don't want like a whole bag with a handle because they already have a bag. But since paper stuff is so delicate, those sandwich bags, like think of the thing that you get your Starbucks sandwiches in, but all brown.
They're like little glassine. Yeah, they're not glassine, but they're craft paper like
crap. Yeah.
Sandwich bags.
Yeah, they're called sandwich bags or panini bags, I think is actually what they're called. But so getting a set of those as well as bags with handles is really smart. And then a super, super affordable way to brand that stuff is to have your logo made into a stamp. So stickers. I know I talked about this. Stickers or stamps. But let me just tell you, having, especially because I'm a print shop, like stamping just black ink onto that craft paper bag, it looks so good, even if it's imperfect. And it is such a quick way to brand, but you're absolutely right. Stickers, I have done that as well. And then if you want to go a level up of like, it's a little bit more work, but it puts in, I don't know, an extra level of detail. I have bought, you know, those really big, like kind of hole puncher things, but they're not holes. They're like die cuts, but they function like a hole puncher. Yeah. I don't know what to call those. Are they, you just call them die cuts?
They're, no, like the ones that like I have a star shaped one.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I would say those are hole punch. They're just punching shaped holes.
Yeah. Shaped hole puncher.
Shaped hole puncher. You know what we're talking about.
You could get them at Michael's. You could also cut stuff out in your Cricut, but it's just way quicker to just like go through a sheet of paper, like stamp, 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 pop, 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 pop. And then stamp a little logo on those and, you know, tie it around or something. The handle. Yeah. I have done that and people freaking love it. They're like, oh my God, look at your cute bag with this little flower thing on it. And I'm like, I know, isn't that so cute? And it took me, we were watching Netflix one night and it took me maybe the entirety of one show for me to put those together. And it's just like an extra special touch.
Totally. I also think like if you can brand the outside of that bag in any way, when people are walking around and they see your logo on the bag and then they see your table, they're like, oh, well, somebody else bought something from there. I should go check it out. Like, I think it's such a good, like, it's an immediate thing. Like when people literally see your logo somewhere, like on a bag, somebody purchased something, it gives you this immediate credibility. Like your stuff is worth buying because I just saw somebody buy it. You know, I don't know. It's interesting.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
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 I love it. Okay. So
Mariah's going to go print her bags right now.
I know. Yeah. Don't forget. I save all that shit to like the day or the day before or 2 days before. And it's always such a rush, but yeah, you know, whatever.
I've got my stickers and my bags ready. So those will be done in a sec, which is great. And I have everything on hand. So yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. So the last sort of topic that we have here is specific to displaying stationery or sweets. And I took this as sweets. So I talked a lot in my notes about that specifically.
Yeah, I think we're talking like, you know, so we've covered a lot of like the product-based side of things. So now we're kind of moving into like, if you're not really a product-based person or business, then, you know, you're more of a service stationery designer, printer, et cetera, then this is for you.
Yeah. Although I will. Okay. So before we get into that, we've talked about our different displays, but I guess just to describe them a little bit better. So I have a trifold wall. It is 7 feet tall. Each panel is 30 inches wide. And I made it with all stuff that I just bought at Home Depot. And I even cut it all at Home Depot. So it was like pretty easy to assemble. Mm-hmm. But each shelf fits 4 cards across and like 3 or 4 cards deep. So you could get like a pretty decent amount of cards on that wall display. And then our table displays range from multi-tiered kind of containers, shelving containers that cards fit in either 3 across or 2 if you do them landscape, to the sort of buckets and stuff. So like that's an overall of like our product display options. And then for stationery, which is such a fun topic, I've actually had a few people reach out to me because I did more of a service-based show recently at a venue, specifically for clients who are already booked with that venue. And a lot of people reached out and were like, oh, how did you display your stationery? So I think this is a really good topic to discuss. And there's so many creative ways that you can do it. And I just pulled out 3 that I felt like I saw were the most common and really successful. One option is to build a little stand that has shallow shelves. So basically really similar to the wall I was just describing, but you don't need it to be very deep because you're just going to put like an invitation and an envelope and whatever, and you're going to space them out. And so it could be like a square piece of MDF that you glue some like, or you brad nail some molding to or whatever.
Yeah, it could be really... Simple.
Super simple, super basic. Walk up and down the aisles in Home Depot and you'll find what you're looking for to make something. And then you cluster, you know, different pieces of sweets together, overlapping some elements, you know, both for aesthetic reasons, but also for space saving. And if the suite includes an assembly feature like a belly band, ribbon, or a gatefold, you typically would want to have like one fully assembled set and then all the individual pieces. And the upside to this is that people can actually pick up your work and they could hold it in their hand and they could look at the details and they could run their fingers across the letterpress and ooh and ah over that. The downside is you are spending 90% of your day resetting your display because people are picking it up.
Totally. Totally fair.
You also might actually want to bring someone along with you who their sole job is to just do display touch up all day.
Put them back together. Yeah, literally. It sounds like if it's a busy event, you would probably want 2 people at that booth. I also would say like if you have a ton of different suites that you want to display, I feel like this would be harder. Like I feel like this is great if you have like a core collection of suites that you like really love.
You can actually pair like all of these together. All of these like 3 suggestions to like kind of make a good mingling. But yeah, I agree. You, unless you're doing it behind you, and it's kind of a big sort of wall display, either wall mounted like yours, situation or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that it could easily get out of hand, but I do think people love that interactive element of being able to pick stuff up.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. So then the next option, which is something that you talked about earlier, was basically taking a flat lay, gluing that shit down, and then flipping it up so people could look at it. So basically just taking all your pieces and using
a permanent flat lay.
Using foam core to build up that depth and level that you get in a flat lay, add your elements, hot glue all that stuff onto a piece of MDF that you painted.
Yeah.
And it's going to look fabulous. Or you could do the exact same thing inside of a shadow box. So you could take the back of a shadow box, glue all your stuff onto that, and then put it in. And then that way your suite is also protected from the elements. So the upside to this is that your displays are always going to look sexy. The downside is that people might want to touch and feel them, and it could be a little bit harder, especially if they're in like an actual enclosed.
Yeah. I also object. Like the idea of like an MDF or like foam core board, because you could do like easel, or you could do, you could even have like an easel with like three on it and just rotate them. Like you could do a variety of them and just pop up the one that somebody's interested in. You know what I mean? You could kind of like pull them out.
If
you had more than you could physically fit in your space. I like that idea a lot.
We bought a whole bunch of these little wooden easels, super, super cheap. They might have only been like $3 a piece. And we bought them for like a family paint night where we were watching like a YouTube video and then painting.
Yeah.
I took all of them home, cleaned them up, and I now use them for exactly that reason. Yeah. I take them to my markets. I will put either my branding sign on them or pricing signs, or I will set up a flat lay of my stationery, hot glue it, or better mail, and put that in those little tabletop easels.
You could have
two big easels flanking your table. Then you could have a couple tabletop easels. And now all of a sudden, and then you could have stuff
behind
you.
You could have stuff behind you.
Yeah.
You just cover every surface with little easels of sweets.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last option is something we definitely mentioned earlier, but putting all of your sweets in a binder. So I've seen some really amazing stationery binders where the designer has paired photos of their stationery along with the actual pieces so that you're getting those, you know, professional flat lays in their environment with all the extra wedding stuff. And it's very inspirational to look at. But then on the other side of the page, you can actually like see or touch or feel those pieces. It's such a beautiful way to organize your work. I highly recommend everyone making a binder, even just for themselves, because when we take all of our extras from every suite that we do and we put them in our closet or the bins or wherever we store them, we forget how freaking amazing we are and how much cool shit we've made.
Literally never touch them again. Yeah.
So put one set of each one in a binder, and then every now and then flip through it and see your growth and
Remember how cool you are. Yeah.
You're so cool. But okay, so this gives you kind of the best of both worlds as far as organization, avoiding potential chaos. It still allows people to be interactive. However, it limits how many people can view your work. So I would say that the binder should be used in addition to. So I would have displays, or if like, let's say you're actually at a market where you're selling your product, but you want to also let people know that you have services, then your binder just sits on a little corner of your table. Or if you're solely at a bridal expo, I would have a bunch of standalone displays and then maybe two or three binders for people to flip through, because you know one person's gonna be hogging that binder.
Yeah, well, it's that one person that like hogs it, and then you're just SOL for everyone else who comes up while they're looking at it, you know. Two is probably like a huge help, but and you know, they could be the same suites. It's not like you have to have 50 different suites to display. It could be 10 suites that you have 5 copies of. And this is a note to everyone who's ordering letterpress or printed stuff: order extras. Order extras for samples. But yeah, it's, I mean, I feel like you could definitely repeat the suite. Like they could be on the poster board display behind you, but also in the binder right in front of the person.
Yes.
You know, so you don't have to have 1,000 different options. You could just have copies of the same things.
Yeah, agreed. And then you could put like more photos, even if you don't have printed stuff, but you have things that you thought of that you designed. Put those into the Plume calligraphy mockups, print those out at a high resolution, and no one's going to be
any advisor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
So,
yeah, so even if you're starting out, there's a lot of options for you too. If you don't have a massive portfolio yet, make some mock-ups, make some sample suites, make some mock-ups and run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been really impressed with my ability and the success rate of, I feel like bullshitting isn't like the best term to use because then it doesn't sound like I'm putting time into it, but
take it till Zach, you make it.
Zach once told me, because I had this market, I had so much time to prepare for it, and I wanted to knock it out of the park. And it was the market that I was building those walls for, but I mm-hmm. wanted to do more. Like, I wanted to go all out, and like, I just couldn't figure out what that meant. And I was beating myself up about it. And he was like, Jill, you are so good at pulling shit out of your hat last minute. Why do you care about planning ahead? Everything you have done last minute has been brilliant. And ever since then, I just save it to the last minute. And I literally printed out cards. I forgot to letterpress business cards for this big event that I did at a venue.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, oh my God, the event is today. And I didn't print business cards. So I printed them out on my digital printer. But I used that as an advantage to print a photo of Gordy on it. And guess what? Everyone took home a photo of Gordy.
Yeah.
And people are going to remember that.
Yeah.
Because he's so memorable.
Yeah. It's a specific equipment that no one else at that market has.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
So funny. So you thrive well in chaos. Noted.
Noted. So yeah, if it's not coming to you, don't worry, it will. And just remember your basics. People just need to know who you are, how to get in contact with you, and what you sell.
A fat stack of business cards and a notebook will get you very, very far, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree.
Perfect.
And if you run out of business cards, you could just start writing your number down on notebook pages and tearing it off.
Literally. Copy and paste a text message to those people. Do what you gotta do. Yeah, if you have your notebook, you're set. You can just shred it into tiny pieces.
Okay, well, markets tend to be very overwhelming, but I feel like we summed that up pretty well.
I think so, too. Hopefully everyone feels a little better prepared for their next in-person event or ready to take on their first one. If you have a particular setup that you absolutely love, or if you have a market you want to share with people, send it our way. We'd love to see it. We'd love to share it. If you're in Minneapolis, please come to Glass House on Friday, April 21st or Saturday, April 22nd. There will be a market, both days. I'm going to be at it. And there's also some really other wonderful vendors like, candles and textured wall art and, beautiful actual paintings and art and other things. So definitely come by. There's also going to be music and drinks and some snacks. And it is free. So that's also huge, obviously. It's called The Collective. It's being put on by Lab Minneapolis. And it is Friday, April 21st and Saturday, April 22nd.
Jealous. Yeah, that sounds like so much fun.
I'm actually really excited about it because it's just such a great group. And they also are doing like this. You can purchase a tote bag for $50 rather than just a free ticket. And you get like mm-hmm. a free drink and an alcoholic drink, FYI. You get an art print and some other stuff. But it also is just really cute tote bag. The branding and everything of Lab by Molly is just obviously incredible. But the event is going to be, I think, really well put on. It's at a very cool venue too. That's a local wedding venue or event venue. And they are also a, glass blowing like studio. They have these incredible like lighting, fixtures and all kinds of stuff. So it's a cool place too.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. So, anywho,
well, best of luck to everyone as we seriously deep dive into the busiest time of year for us all. And we're thinking of you. And yes, we would love to promote your markets if you're having any. So make sure you DM us. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, perhaps, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We would love to continue growing the pod. We cannot believe that we're almost at the end of this season. And it's like,
crazy.
I can't believe how many episodes we've done. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we will be back next week.
Bye.